in hell are you from anyway, Private?
Sir, Texas, sir!
Holy dog shit, Texas, only steers and queers come from Texas, Private Cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down.
No love, trash hog!
Bit of intro music from Galactic, the new owners of Tipitina's, New Orleans' most famous music venue. Yeah, you know how hard it was for me to dig up a song from Galactic to just use something relative to Galactic for the introduction of this show? And
would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, it's the Prophet Joshua.
And it's Steve McJeezy.
NOLA Trash Talk 218, December 2nd, 2018. It's already December. Hurrah. Christmas music time, folks. So Galactic bought Tipitina's. Because of shady Tipitina's dealer, owner, funding his little real estate empire with Tipitina's Foundation. Henceforth, that music, and then I played the little Dallas or that Texas thing because that wonderful Cowboys game.
Oh, yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah, that's so you know the crime rate in New Orleans went up immediately now that the Saints lost.
Yeah, I know, and it was a Thursday game, so there was no. There's plenty of opportunity over the weekend.
Friday did not feel like Friday when I went to work.
Oof.
It was like, oh, yeah, the weekend's, oh, man, I just wanted to stay home in a cave. Like, I don't want to see the world.
I had to go to a seminar and learn about the new pass-through deduction for the tax code.
That sounds riveting.
Ugh. And the guy was giving a presentation. He had multiple things that were incorrect in his PowerPoint. And that's when I knew I was.
Isn't it fun when you're sitting and watching a presentation like that? That's supposed to be educational. The person teaching you is supposed to be smarter than you, and you can spot misspellings.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, ooh.
Yeah,
am I paying for this?
Well, that was the other thing. It was free, which is good, and we got free lunch out of it, which wasn't that bad.
Get what you pay for there, Steve.
Yeah, there you go. So, anyway, that was Friday for me. I was enjoying a nice little hangover from the Saints game.
Happy December. Saints game was miserable. Our predictions were wrong, finally. We don't get to do a prediction this week. We have a whole week. We can do the next Saints game prediction
That's right. On
the next episode. So no Saints endless
Who do we
contention.
Play next?
Tampa.
Tampa. Yeah, that's right.
I believe.
In Tampa.
I believe. That was a nice come back down to earth game.
It was. Dallas is good. They're playing well. And they also have been playing well at home. And when you have a large amount of data, it's easy to analyze it, right? So in the first 4 weeks of the season, it's tough to get a large data sample, right?
Yeah.
So later on the season, guys got more time to figure out what you're doing. This is how we're going to stop this. Plus, Dallas was hurt, and now they were healthy against us, so... That's what a healthy Dallas team. But give kudos to us. They didn't do dog shit on the other side of the ball.
Oh, yeah.
We worked them. So I'm happy about that.
The defensive play was great. Just the whole Drew Brees trying to throw miracle passes. Right there, right on the heels of being on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't help when the guy you're throwing to is obviously concussed. He ran an out route when he's supposed to run a button hook.
It must be a get into the helmet to helmet.
Jesus.
Plays too. I guess it's just because the legacy of Drew Brees for a decade now, 12 years in New Orleans, is when the Saints play a certain level and they look bad on offense. It's like I know the team's full of different personnel, but it just looks like the 2014 Saints.
Right.
Every pass looked like it was going into triple coverage. Every guy got no yards after the catch. It just looked like nobody knew what was going on. Every pass Drew threw was like the only pass that looked like a wide open guy, the play worked was the tight end who then immediately fumbled it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's a professional and any road game in the NFL is tough.
But it just bums out the whole city. And the beautiful weather this weekend. It sucks that we had to
really
have
nice.
The shadow of the Saints loss taint the whole thing. I've requested the day after the Super Bowl off, though, already.
Oh, really?
That's my wager. And the way I look at it, if the Saints are bounced out of the playoffs at some point, I will just go out of town that weekend. Now.
There you go.
So I will make it work for me. I'm sure everyone at my job was like really bitter immediately. Like, ah, I should have done that. I'm like, ah.
We were, I was at Beach Corner yesterday, and a number of people came up to me congratulating us on doing the show. A number of people.
Four people?
Six.
People that you knew? Was it your mom?
My mom was not in a bar. It was good. So our buddy David has been turning people on to the cast. Really appreciate that.
I would want the podcast to be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger with lots of different content, videos, everything. But we're adults with jobs.
There you go.
We can't do that. And in the broadcast world that I kind of partially have my toe dipped into, those people get paid to fill up websites and videos and tweet and blog. And we don't, all of NOLA Trash Talk is done out of charity. We're awful people. This is our charity.
It's a good hang because I get to see the profit.
Yeah, we would never hang out otherwise.
We would never hang out otherwise.
I had to interrupt Steven in a business meeting to do this today. Hungover, beautiful Sunday morning. Lots of people in New Orleans can relate to this. The damaged side view mirror on the car.
How does that happen? You're in a parking garage.
That's all the more reason why it would happen.
Dude, somebody definitely took a fist to
anybody who has a parking garage in New Orleans knows that some people just – and my parking garage is oversold.
Right.
So if everyone who had a pass to go to the garage all decided they wanted to be downtown the same day
– pandemonium.
There would be nowhere to park. You drive all the way up to the ninth floor, rooftop.
And drive all the way down.
And all the way down. And it's just parking garages, the narrow turns, people, the giant concrete pillars, the spots that are the spots in the corner where you can't park a car there because another car would block that corner in.
Right.
So you've wasted two spots per corner throughout the whole building where you can't park unless you have like a smart car.
Yes.
I have a mid-sized like SUV. I don't have a big car.
Yeah, you're not getting in there though.
But if I were to park, if I see an open spot in the corner of the garage, if I park in that spot, I'm blocking the car from the other side pulling out.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to do.
So it's a complete waste of parking real estate.
I have went to Harrah's at one point, and I brought my car there. And this is how packed Harrah's was. Every single floor, every single parking spot, all full.
But is the scam still in place where you can park in the Harrah's garage, get your parking validated at the Texas Hold'em table, and then just go to the quarters?
Used to be.
Did that for years.
Did that for fucking years. Oh, and they caught on to that. It's so funny how...
And even if you could just play like one slot machine, get your thing stamped and walk out.
Well, now they say you have to have a player's card, and that player's card has to have 30 minutes of play on it.
Yeah, I'm not gambling for 30 minutes.
Yeah, no, it's a... But yeah, the poker room was the biggest... Oh, that was awesome. And especially if you knew the... Of course, we did. We knew the poker guy who was running it. So it was never a question. It was just like, yeah, do this. But that's funny how New Orleans, Harrah's, or Caesars is so far behind all the rest of the Caesars in the country.
Of course.
Yeah. Like, we're still doing tickets and validations and, like, it's ridiculous.
Speaking of being behind, I saw this article about ranking the best and worst airports in the country for, like, most likely to get delays and flights canceled. And
Atlanta, Chicago.
JFK, number one.
Wow.
For the worst one. And New Orleans, the Louis Armstrong Airport, wasn't in the top worst and wasn't in the top best. It wasn't ranked anywhere. It was so much in. I was shocked. Like, it's just so middle. Like,
just
it's
so,
not a bad airport. It's not a great airport.
You're just so, like, vanilla.
We have the benefit of, we don't have snowstorms.
Right.
Which shut down a lot of the major airports in the north, so that I think that helps. But then, of course, we're not the. That airport is a filthy nightmare.
Did I ever tell you when?
It's like the dirtiest airport I've ever.
Yeah, but it's up. Well, Santa Fe is pretty bad. Albuquerque. Did I ever tell you when I used to come visit you know, New Orleans when I was in high school. And, you know, we moved. We went to the boarding school in 99. And every opportunity I had to come back here and visit with friends, I did. So, like, New Year's, Christmas, in the summertime, spring break. I was down here, like, three times a year. It was great. And I recall before 9/11 coming back to New Orleans and watching these absolute ass clowns at security. And I would always think to myself, what if something really bad were to happen? And I was flying back to Philly in August.
I didn't fly pre 9/11. I didn't take my first, I didn't get on a plane for the first time until 03.
Damn.
When I flew here to visit.
Yeah. The rules were a little bit different. You could just waltz on through. You didn't need a ticket. You could just do whatever.
Yeah. To me, the airport's always been the fascist police state. Yeah. It's always been.
You never knew what freedom was.
When I was in line at the airport, when flying out to Europe over the summer, we stood in line while a guy got tackled and tased.
Oh.
What's the Dookie Chase?
Yeah.
The Dookie Chase that's right there as you're walking into like the.
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We were just listening to him. Like, let me go. Let me. And everyone's standing in line just looking at each other. Like,
gosh,
like,
that's what you need, those Google glasses. It's immediate recording.
Oh, the guy, he was surrounded. Like, we couldn't get a clear shot of him. Okay. Like, they had him, like, hogtied carrying him out. I don't know what this guy did, but he was not cooperating.
Yeah, there's a couple places in the world where you don't re-raise. You don't re-raise the airplane people because they will fuck you.
Don't get into an altercation on the flight.
Right.
Because they'll remove you from the flight.
Yes, that's the other one. You do not
And
fool
everybody
around.
On that flight will want to kill you.
Yes. And then they will record you, and you will look like an asshole.
And your video of you freaking out on the plane will be on LiveLeak. You'll be an asshole forever.
Yep.
Just like if you get caught beating up your Uber driver, Jameis Winston.
Oh, gosh.
They just settled out of court, by the way.
I hope so. I mean...
Banner year right there for that dude. Anyway.
What an idiot.
So
you want to talk about being behind somebody and really losing your mind?
Steven has warned me in advance of a Whole Foods story. Is this a Whole Foods story?
It is.
Which Whole Foods? Because they're little different universes all over.
I know. It's the one out in Metairie, which is actually the best one to go to.
That is a nice Whole Foods.
It really is. They have more space.
What's the worst Whole Foods then?
Obviously Uptown.
Uptown's the worst?
Or actually Mid-City.
Because
no,
the parking situation?
Uptown parking, Mid-City, just because they're shitty.
I like it. No one honors the Uptown Whole Foods parking lot arrow system of, like, this is a one-way in,
one-way
out.
Oh, my God. They're so awful.
I don't know. I would look at that parking garage. Like, this looks like way too small of a parking space for this facility. Whole Foods just assuming people are walking here most of the time?
I would say so, yeah, the neighborhood people. But so... I played good husband yesterday and rolled around, did all the groceries, which is fine. But everything to me is time trials. So how fast can I get in and out of here is a big deal to me. I am in.
Why don't you go to Whole Foods? Why not Trader Joe's?
I'll explain. Okay. Oh my God! Well, because I don't want to kill myself. Everything in Costco, I look like the guy.
Yeah, why didn't you go to Costco?
I did. No. I went to two places.
Costco and Whole Foods.
Yes.
This is some serious.
Because some things are there that aren't there, yada, yada, yada. I'm in there like it's shop till you drop. I am like racing through the aisles. I know where everything is. Hopefully, if they haven't moved it, fucking piece of shit. I hate Costco for that.
There's two people in your household, Steven. Like, you guys stock up for the end of the world every weekend.
No. Did you?
And then when I go in your house is empty.
You just get
where does all the stuff go?
You get the produce and stuff.
I guess.
Yeah. So I'm racing in and out. Boom, boom, boom. Costco. In and out. 30 minutes. Because I went, like, as soon as they opened. That's the only way
to
do it.
So you avoided any incidents in the Costco lot?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you doubled down.
Oh. And I go off to Whole Foods in Metairie. Now, get out, park at Whole Foods, good to go, racing around again. Just, I know where everything is. Boom. I get in line at Whole Foods, and the lines are all full. So I don't want to play this, like, which is the shorter line, you know? Just get in a line, you know?
This is just for checkout.
Yeah, just checkout. So
when's Whole Foods going to do self-checkout? Because I've been going to Walmart a lot more recently, and they have the whole massive self-checkout section.
Wow. Yeah, they do.
That is, like, quadruple the size of what Winn-Dixie has.
Yeah, it's like 16 or 20 of them, huh?
And I got to say, for all the, you know Walmart people, I guess I'm one of them, it's efficient.
Good.
It's much more efficient than any of the – and they don't do that shit where they shut down half of them, where they're turned off.
Winn-Dixie loves to do that.
I
don't. Ridiculous. So get in line, and then someone gets behind me. Okay, so I'm in between two people, and there's one person checking out. Good, I'm fine. I got the podcast on. I got Joe Rogan, Kumia. I'm good. Lady checks out. She goes, the lady in front of me has two separate orders. I don't care. I put all my stuff on the belt. So now I am pot committed, right? I have all my stuff.
What do you mean two orders?
Like she had two separate orders. She was like, I want to pay for this, and then I want to pay for this. Okay. I don't mind that, whatever. And it wasn't that much stuff. Josh,
I'm waiting for this to go off the rails.
At that point, I have my stuff on the belt, right?
Did you put your stuff up there too early?
No.
Okay.
How long do you think it was from the time I put my stuff on the belt till the time I walked out of the door? Minutes.
20?
25 minutes.
That's impressive. How much? Josh, what happened? Did she like write a check that bounced?
Oh my gosh. So everything's being scanned, and then she has a bunch of produce, and the girl is like putting the checkout cashier, whatever, is putting the codes in, okay? And this lady's like, oh, no, that's not it. She's like, man, it's Aroma tomato. She's like, oh, okay. But that was every single thing. Then we get to.
Were you like, you want some lettuce too, bitch?
Oh, gosh. This is just in the first part of our order. Then we get to the last piece of produce. And
mystery fruit.
We don't know what it is. We don't know. The girl's like, what is this? And she goes, and again, I have my podcast in. I'm just assuming. Like, this is a Nigerian beet. I don't know. Something stupid and very obscure. So the girl's like, look. Now she has to look through the book because it doesn't have a number on it.
Yeah.
So she goes, oh, this is it. She puts it in. And the lady is looking at the Whole Foods screen. She goes, that's not it. And she's like, oh, well, okay. So she goes, is this it? She puts it in. She goes, that's not it. It's a blah, 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 blah. We have to call over the store manager now. She comes over, she looks it up, and she goes, she's like, ma'am, you know, where'd you get? She's like, oh, over there, and like, they're talking, and I still have my earphones, so I'm not listening. I'm just fuming at this lady who will not give up. Like, I don't know the differential, but I'm thinking that we're talking about a difference of cents when it comes to what the price was.
Right.
They had to go to the produce section. And
man, where did you find this fruit?
Yes. Come back. And then, okay, we know what it is. They manually type it in. I swear to you, it was like $1.50. I'm dead serious.
Was it like Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors? But like there was an eclipse.
Yes.
And the store went dark for a minute. When it came back up, there was a strange new fruit there.
At this point, fuming. But I'm holding on to the shopping cart. The shopping cart is between me and the belt, and I'm looking like this. I'm just looking down like this into a, and the lady's to my right, and I'm just like, I don't know what's going on here, but you need to wrap this up, like in my head, okay? So that was the first order. Now we need to do the second order, which is not that much stuff. Boop, boop.
Mystery fruit. Boop. Come on.
We get to it, and she goes, I want to pay this with a gift card. She busts out her gift card. And doesn't have, like, the PIN number scratched off of it. She's, like, scratching the PIN number with her key every so slowly.
Was someone behind you in line that gave up and left?
Oh, I don't know. There was somebody in line. So, I'm in the middle of this. I can't go. My shit's already on the belt.
Right.
So, she puts the...
Was your wife with you?
No. No, I did it all myself. Oh. So, she puts it in there. They put the PIN... And she's like, yes, ma'am, there's still a balance of $2.37. Ever so slowly, one, two, bust out the change purse, get 37, Josh, This is all.
I need a description of what this woman looked like.
She was a 55-year-old, middle-aged annoyance. Okay? Annoyance. So then she finally settles up. But then she gets the receipt and she's looking at the receipt. I was like, I don't know what to do here. Like, I'm so perplexed. And she looks at me. She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry about that." And I looked at her and said, "Ma'am, you could not be more hateable." And stood there.
Did the clerk at least give you one of those "sorry about the wait, sir"?
She didn't know. I'm talking about the lady. She looked at me and she goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I said, "Ma'am, you couldn't be more hateable." And just stared at her.
Now, what I would have done in passive aggressive Josh, it's super easy to get angry too in Joe's checkout lanes. I just would have sat down like Indian style in the lane.
Right. Just to be a yeah.
And just like whip the phone out.
Yep. Like, this is, we're going to be here a while.
Played music like loud.
Right. So.
Yeah, I would have grabbed a Snickers and it's going to be here for a while.
Jesus. So the lady's like kind of, she's like staring at me and I just staring right back at her. And the cashier's starting ringing my stuff up. I go, "Watch how fast this is." I take two double
bags. I bet you got to your car before the woman.
Motherfucking,
got.
I was out in 90 seconds.
I do that.
I was like, "Look, you can even, pay on my credit card while she's ringing it up." I was like, "Look, I'll put it in there. Bing, bing, bing." I take it out. Watch. Bag of stuff. Well, here we go. Receipt. Boom.
I vindictively sometimes, when I get stuck behind some crazy slow person in a checkout lane, I will make it a point to beat them to their car. Just to see the speed normal people move at? Like, so before they can get out of the store, I can sometimes pass them through the automatic doors. Like, I've lapped them already in purchasing.
Yeah.
But I saw something funny in the checkout lane at Walmart. You know how the Snickers bars, because I mentioned this, has had these funny words on it? I saw the best, it says, you know, like, handsome, juicy, tasty.
That's right.
Yeah, they all say different things. This Snickers bar said denied. It's like that. I was like, I don't buy candy, but I kind of wanted that Snickers bar.
Do you recall the picture I sent you with the license plate of that big truck? And it was like, "Potholes don't scare me."
Oh yeah, I put that on the trash talk Facebook.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Yeah, that was. I actually saw that same truck again. So I guess that guy works in that particular area where I was. So, but yeah, so that was my Whole Foods story. And again, my wife is convinced that I cannot go grocery shopping without something happening or like some annoyance happening. And I really do think that the life is going to keep throwing me these grocery store curveballs until I just like,
why don't you
let go and release?
You can't do that. I give people this advice all the time if they don't want to deal with stuff. Like, you got to go to those places before noon.
Yeah, no. And Costco was, I went as early as possible. So I ended up getting a Whole Foods at like 10:45, maybe.
But you got some like angry grandmother with, you know, not a lot going on.
Oh my gosh. You ever seen, there's a cartoon movie. I can't think of it right now. Zootopia. Have you seen it?
Parts of it.
Okay. It's okay. We get that.
The sloth thing at the DMV.
That's exactly what was happening to me.
Oh, poor Steven.
But it's just, it's funny because I don't have anywhere to go. I'm just doing time trials. Oh, no. I have like the milk and the eggs and shit in the car from Costco.
Oh.
And that was like more of like the.
Did you buy ice cream too?
No, thank God. But like that, and it wasn't exactly.
You should never buy ice cream based on this experience.
But it wasn't exactly 40 degrees out yesterday either. It was like 74.
Yeah, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
Why did it go back up into the 80s?
44, 74.
It's warm outside right now.
It's very warm.
I brought my jacket out last night and I left it in the car. I was like, I no longer necessary. And it's supposed to go back down to the 50s this week.
Did you go to Tips last night?
I did not go to Tips last night, but I don't really frequent Tips at all.
Right. I don't know too many people that do too, but this Tips story could be our story of the year for 2018. Do you remember what our story of the year for 2017 was? The loony doctor and the Lamborghini.
That was, yeah.
Or was it a Ferrari or Lamborghini?
Lamborghini. The Lamborghini and touchy doctor. And
right. Because, like, that story had, like, many layers to it. We had Crazy Touchy Doctor, but then somebody borrowed his Lamborghini and killed somebody.
Yeah.
This Tips story is kind of the same thing, wouldn't you say?
Basically, the owner of Tips is funding his real estate empire in Shreveport with the Tipitinas Foundation by just a whole bunch of companies like paying himself through the foundation. And the board that oversees foundations, that includes a lot of high-profile people, they never met. They never signed off on anything this guy was doing, and they just let it go. And what's some of the things that are out here? He owes Hancock Whitney something like $180,000. He's got a debt of $1 million owed to some.
Well, yeah, and they say that these things appear unrelated to the foundation, but they're just like throwing that in there,
right? And then of course this guy also had a Ponzi scheme situation called Bond Fund One, which we posted on the Trash Talk page, where a priest filed a lawsuit against him to get his money back, and a couple other high-profile people.
How did that priest have like $150,000 lying around?
That's what everyone's like asking. Like, wait, what priest? Some of the other people that got ripped off by WDSU TV meteorologist Dan Milham and his wife. You got a couple high-profile people. One of the guys on the Tipitinas board is Doug Thornton, who is the VP of SMG, which manages the Superdome.
And when it was found out, or so the Treasury bonds deal had nothing to do with the foundation.
Right.
That was just him personally being a scumbag. So the foundation, people were donating to the foundation, and the foundation was probably supposed to like promote music in New Orleans or some bullshit.
Right.
And he was using that money to do real estate stuff.
Right. But then he was transferring it out of the foundation to other things. He's like a apartment complex thing in Shreveport that they were refurnishing.
And according to the article, there was no
meetings. No one signed off on the board of anything.
No financial statements. No nothing.
Yeah, they haven't produced a financial statement about the foundation's activities since like 2015.
What did they say about the Louisiana legislative audit? Like, what did they say? The foundation is in noncompliance for failing to timely file. No shit.
And on top of that, Tipitinas wasn't paying the bands playing there. One of the stories at the end of this article, The Advocate, is the Radiators said it took a month for them to get paid for a sold-out weekend they played.
Oh, gosh.
Right. And I don't think there's a net 30 payment terms for Tipitinas.
No, that's net 2.
Right. Yeah, you play a show at a club, you get paid that night.
Right, yeah, you get a check as you walk out.
And they had to hound the guy to get paid. And it's the Radiators. So it was a whole 3 nights in a row sold-out weekend.
Oh, we should have pulled this up before, but would you like to look at the Tipitinas Foundation tax return?
I don't
go to GuideStar.com and I'll keep talking.
Okay.
So GuideStar, yeah. So every nonprofit, okay, if you are, especially if you're a 501c3,
fancy talk, Steven.
Right. You have
explain to me like I'm five.
Okay. So if you are a nonprofit company, you are exempt through the IRS through many code sections. Your 501c is the code section, and then you go 501c 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the way down to like 12.
GuideStar.org.
Oh, GuideStar.org. I'm sorry. Go to sign in. I'll do the rest. So what you have to do here is you have an obligation to file information returns, and those informational returns are due just like every other tax return. They have their separate due dates. Now, they're also, when they're filed with the IRS, they are put out for public display. So if you're slick, you can go look at nonprofit returns and you could say, okay, well, do I want to donate to this company? You can see how they're spending their money and things. So that's why what we're going to do right now is go see if we can find this.
Okay. Steven's got the inside track here with his GuideStar login. Okay, now you can just look this up by Tipitinas?
Yeah, so what we're going to do is go to the GuideStar basic search right there and just put Tipitinas Foundation, see if anything comes up. Because what it said was is that they were in non-compliance for their 2017 filings, but they're 20... Oh, there it is. So, yeah, click on it and then go to Show Forms 990 and then go to 2016. There you go. So, here's the foundation. Okay, here's the tax return.
We've got the tax return for the Tipitinas Foundation 2016.
What does it say in box G right there, Josh? Gross receipts. All the way to the right.
All the way to the right. Box G.
Gross receipts.
Gross receipts. 902,000. What is that like?
That's a lot of money. So that's $902,000 that was deposited in their bank account.
Yes.
And they are, you see their tax exempt status right here?
Uh-huh.
They're a 501c3. So what that means is that your donations to this uh-huh. are tax deductible. They're like charitable deductions. Uh-huh. You see?
Right.
So that's why this is a huge issue, because the IRS and the DOJ, they take 501c3s way more serious than any other ones because of the deductibility, and they're subject to way more rules and things. So if you would like, we can go see how they're spending their money, Josh.
I feel like after we wrap this podcast up, Steve's going to charge me.
So they're a calendar year. They're not a fiscal year. And let's see. They have 6 members of their voting board, but 0 of them are independent.
What does that mean?
So they either get paid or they get compensated for being on the board, or they have a conflict of interest.
Uh-huh.
That's not good to have 0 independent members.
And none of them meet regarding right. what this board does.
And these are they. This is the board right here. It's your boy Ronald.
Our main guy here, Kurnatowski. And then we've got Dr. Eric George. There's Doug Thornton from MSG. There's his wife, I guess, Mary Von Kurnatowski. Doug Kilton and Dean Dupuis.
Yeah. So what does it say here? So they're all okay. So, and it says that they're spending. Look, he says he's spending 25 hours a week.
But the board never met.
But they never met. I know. So here's the other fun thing. So here's, okay, here's their, where they get their money. It's mostly just donations from.
So they got 116 grand fundraising events, 24 grand government grants, and the rest, a 717,000 from all other contribution gifts, grants, and similar amounts not included above. Okay.
And then they have this right here, investment income, just 22 grand. That's probably like interest or dividends. They can have that. So then this is how they're spending their money. Other salaries and wages. So this foundation has a payroll of almost $500,000. Why? Why do you have a payroll? So what you're saying is that you collected $900,000.
Right.
And what did you do with that money? You paid more than half of it in salaries? Are you serious?
This is all Chinese to me. So.
Well, think about it.
Do you want to write an investigative article?
No, but it's just funny to look at the numbers. It's like you're a charitable organization. You're supposed to be doing money.
With it's just one guy and his other LLCs moving money around.
Yeah, or that, yeah.
The board never meets. The board does not work 20 hours a week.
Consulting.
On the foundation. Oh, consulting's my favorite thing.
Yeah,
One day. I want to go into I'm going to be a podcast consultant.
So, let's see. Yeah, so basically these guys, like this tax return basically says to me, we took in $900,000 in contributions, right? And we paid out. Look at that. That's how much money we paid out.
Total functional expenses.
$1.2 million. $1.25 million. So they spent $350,000 more than they got in, and $500,000 of that was salaries. You see, so like you're supposed to spend money on your charitable like cause, you know?
Right.
It's not half your shit's not supposed to be salaries.
The charitable cause in New Orleans gets into this vague, oh, we're preserving heritage and culture. It's like, I don't know what that means.
I love these questions too. So I just want to show you this real quick.
Does it ever say, does the organization meet?
Yeah, it does. So it says, does the organization have members or stockholders? Did the organization contemporaneously document the meetings held or written actions undertaken during the year by the following, the governing body? Yes.
Well, the governing body could just be the one guy.
Well, no, that's the 6 people we read off.
That's all 6 people.
So that's all 6.
So that's wrong.
So that's a complete lie.
So the lie detector determined that was a lie.
Immediately. Here's another funny. Did any officer, director, trustee, or key employee have a family relationship or business relationship with any other board director or key employee? And yes, they did. That's probably why they're all not, like, they're not independent, because they're probably all have business relationships with each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's not a good look, that's all. But anyway, so I thought this would be an interesting little tidbit.
I learned a lot.
Briefly describe the organization's mission.
Oh, this is good. Oh,
read that.
Okay. The mission of the Tipitinas Foundation: creation and support of community activities and events designed to fund and develop music and entertainment arts in Louisiana public schools.
$500,000 in salaries.
$500,000 to do that.
To do that.
Can we check? Can we call somebody from the public schools right now and ask them how the music culture has been preserved so far from the Tipitinas Foundation?
Also, what's that number say? What's 2A? Read that.
2A right here. Enter the number of employees reported on Form W-3, transmittal of wage and tax statements, filed for the calendar year ending with or within.
So that's basically saying, how many employees do you have?
And that says 22.
22. 22 employees to do what? What do they do? Insane. So the other thing was, and this will be the last thing we talk about. Oh, that guy prepared it right there. That's a CPA that prepared it. That's not good. It's not good when you have your name on a public document. That's bullshit. What's the last thing I'm going to show you here? Okay. On the board of directors, you have to list their name, like what they are, like are they an officer or a trustee, and then the reportable compensation to them. What is it? All zeros. But you know that's they got something, right?
So how's that work? If they're saying they made $900,000, but in this little section of reportable compensation.
Well, no. What it's saying is that, you know, we said they paid out $500,000.
Oh, this is from each board member.
Yes, that's just the board members. So what this is saying is that the board members didn't get compensated to do anything, but they were spending 20 to 25 hours a week on the organizational's work. You know what I'm saying? It don't make sense.
Well, actually, it does make sense. Well, no, it doesn't.
25 hours a week?
Yeah, you're spending 25 hours a week.
You don't get compensated?
You're not getting compensated. And all in the name of preserving musical culture in public schools.
Yes, because that's the mission.
And what is he investing time and energy to? And as someone who has two jobs and lots of interests, I don't have enough hours in the day. This guy is running like a clique of properties all over Louisiana.
And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker.
None of which have to do with music or heritage or
so
culture.
We could look at the prior year returns because we can see all three returns. But Josh, look at line 19.
Revenue less expenses subtract 18. Okay. Wow.
So last year they lost $272,000. And this year they lost almost $400,000. Lost, quote unquote. I told you a long time ago, there's a lot of profit in nonprofit.
Of course. Yes. I know that. We need to start an all the trash organization.
Well, you know that nonprofit tax counting is my
We can both.
That's my specialty.
We could both not spend 20 hours a week working on the NOLA Trash Talk Foundation,
and lose almost.
And we can
almost $700,000. I bet you that quote loss right there, like the both those losses. Do you think any of that was to build the his real estate empire, like running money? It all makes sense. That article with this tax return makes total sense to me.
But now, Galactic, the funk band, has purchased Tipitinas.
Yeah, so
they've gotten it out of his hands. So,
but that's the weirdest thing is that, like, did they buy the building, the business, or? But the foundation is completely separate.
Yeah, down to the end of this article, there's a good little quote from one of the guys. Here we go. Right at the end, from the Radiators, with the story where it took them a month to get paid for a gig at Tips. Right at the bottom. Okay, Radiators bassist Reggie Scanlon said before the sale of Tipitinas last week, that's not the way to do business. I didn't want to ever play at Tipitinas again. This is not the Tipitinas we were associated with or that musicians built up over the years. Now it's just another building block in some guy's real estate empire.
Bam.
That's from the bass player of the Radiators. So.
So Galactic.
Want to go to Tips tonight?
Yeah. So Galactic bought it. And, you know, Galactic, they it's like, yeah, Galactic's here for another Jazz Fest weekend, and they're headlining at Tips. Okay, great.
Okay, so when I was putting together the music for this episode, I said it was a struggle for me to find galactic music online.
Yeah, because no one...
Have you ever gone anywhere where someone had galactic, like, on their iPod?
No.
In the background?
No.
Or you heard it out of someone's car?
I couldn't name you, and this is not coming from me because you know I don't know music, but I couldn't name you one song. Not one.
Exactly. That bewilders me. All the brass bands are like that. It only works in the context of you going to see it at a club, and you're getting really fucked up, and it's just all you want to hear is like a repetitive bass groove for 4 hours.
I didn't even know that.
I don't want to hear.
I didn't even know Galactic was a brass band until
or a funk band.
Yeah, okay.
But I just mean like all the bands that play the circuit here,
right?
The bands that Tipitina rips off.
They don't give them their money.
I played a show at Tipitina's. I didn't get paid, but I also didn't bring them any money.
When did you play a show there? A while ago, huh?
10 years ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was Thor. That was Thor on the bass.
Yeah, but my claim to fame for that one Tipitina show that I played, it was a headline show, by the way, was the opening band was the first ever gig for the Revivalists.
Wow.
It was their first show ever.
They opened for you.
Where their families were all there. They had to sell tickets in advance.
Look at you now.
Look at you
now.
I still look at the Revivalists on stage. I'm like, I really don't think they're a good band.
But like, you guys opened for me once, man.
Thanks, Steven.
I love it. I love it. Well, what was the other thing that was going on that I wanted to tell you about? I can't remember right now, but...
Did you go to the Crew of Kringle parade downtown?
Oh, my God.
I missed that. I hung over, slept through the
Crew of Kringle.
Yeah, or the Krampus parade that's in the Bywater,
ugh.
Which is only hipster Bywater could have created that. Sounds like a good time. Would love to do that, including that new Halloween Krampus event they've got going on by the Huey P. that we've mentioned.
Yeah, the it's like they're using the House of Shock, and they're doing Krampus.
Right
yeah.
around where the House of Shock was.
Yeah. What I was trying to think of what else was going on that was fun. Oh, the mayor of New Orleans is really coming after the French Market.
Why?
Because they get like funding from the city and state, I believe, and that is being slightly mismanaged as well.
Of course. Was that in the budget that just got approved?
That just got approved, yeah. And I think that was one of the bigger... That was one of the bigger issues that the mayor was looking at was, it's like, why are we giving all this money to them, and where's their accountability? And it's like, it's so funny how no one ever asked this question before LaToya Cantrell. Like, why are we doing this again?
I gotta say, I mean, coming off of Landru, where we bitched about the mayor, we are in a situation now where I have no problems with this new mayor.
Yeah, I mean,
she's doing good work. I got
nothing to say. I thought she was gonna be a bust.
You can't say we hate all politicians because
yeah,
she's doing good things.
Now, the blue bikes. When she removes those, that's when I will crown her princess, queen. Okay. Excuse me.
Well, they blocked the scooter thing from coming here.
Thank you. God.
And we'll wrap up speaking of like things in the city that we fight against to make happen. Here's an old picture when they wanted to do a river
stone.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This was a flyer that went around trying to prevent a Riverfront Expressway from going around the quarter on the and people fought it and it never happened.
This must be like 30 years ago.
Right, exactly.
Oh, wow. So this, where'd you find this? From Reddit?
New Orleans Reddit.
And this was supposed to be the expressway that came from where to where?
It would go around the quarter on the river.
Oh gosh.
Right. Imagine how different downtown would be if there was an expressway around the
river.
Yeah,
they're going to make a cruise port right there.
Right. Now yeah. I mean, yeah. It's mostly set there unused, you know,
right.
Generally.
Yeah, that'd be awful if there was an expressway right there.
But it's little flyers and pamphlets, folks. If you don't like something in the city, circulate your pamphlet, and it could work. It could stop something awful from happening. We got to wrap it up, Steven.
All right.
That's 45. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McJeezy.
This is NOLA Trash Talk. We'll see you next week, and we'll have some Saints conjecture for that Bucks game. See ya.